We've been talking missions a lot lately. We had our good brother and sister, Josh and Colleen Ellick, in from Kenya, and they shared last week. But I have a dear brother and sister. They are crazy, and I mean that in the sense they're wild for Jesus. Will Barbara and Gary come up on the stage for me really quick? Yeah, you can give them a hand. Yeah, come all the way. Yeah, come all the way up. I met these two on Adopt a Block when we were out running Love Our City. I was out on the street. And I saw them. I saw them at an abandoned neighborhood handing out plates of food out of that box truck that you guys see out there called Perfect Provisions. And I stopped by and I just said, what are you guys doing? And they said, oh, we're just serving food to those who might be hungry. And I said, are you guys believers? And this girl basically started speaking in tongues as soon as I asked. I mean, they're like on fire for God. So I said, well, sweet then. Let me get your number. We got connected. And these guys have served alongside of us for 3 years now. Is that correct? 3 years. On Thursday, they went out on the street with Thanksgiving meals on Compassion Night to feed those in homelessness. Yeah, with us. Yeah, these guys are off the chain. Well, if you're wondering why that truck's at our property, it's because these two feel called to go to Panama, not to vacation, though it wouldn't be a bad place, but to go be ministers of the Lord. And I just said, man, we're going to be supporting these guys. And how many guys want to see who we support? Anyone here want to see who we support? So I'm going to let them share just a quick testimony, talk about what they're going to be doing. So can you guys give them your ear? Barbara, go for it.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I thank God today for who he is and what he is doing in our life. We are going to Panama, Panama City. We don't know where the Lord is actually going to land us at. It could be in Volcan. It could be up in the mountains. But wherever the Lord send us, that is where we're going to go. Because when we say we are spirit-led, then when Lord tell us to do something, our response should be, yes, Lord, I'm going. My life belonged to you, Father. You died on the cross for me. My life is not my own. So we are very thankful for where God is taking us. We have been American missionaries. Now we going. The Lord said it's time. It was spoke to us about 5 years ago that he was calling us to the nations. And sometimes you don't always know what that means. Sometimes it's scary. But just know that God got you. And whatever God spoke to you, he's going to bring that thing. He's going to make it good. Because that he bad to the bone. That's just the kind of God he is. He is bad to the bone. Who can stop our God? He's unstoppable. He is unstoppable. And this, it doesn't matter if he spoke something to you 2 or 3, 5, 15 years ago. He's going to make it good. And you're going to do it. You're going to do it. You're going to walk in it. And all you got to do is wait, I say, on the Lord. Hallelujah. We have been people of excellence. And whatever the Lord has told us to do, we have done it unto the Lord and in excellence. That even go through our meals. Anybody that has been out and served with us know that we serve good food. We don't give the homeless and we don't give them anything. We serve them what we would serve a king. Praise God. I love the Lord. He has done so many great things for us. He has brought us a mighty long way. Hallelujah. Stick with him. Stay out of sin. Come on. If God has called you to do, stay out of sin. Stay out of sin. Don't come to church on Sunday and then the rest of the week you living like the devil. You smoking, you drinking, you committing fornication, you in adultery. The Lord see everything. And one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account. We're going to give an account. We got to be ready for our most important appointment with him, because at that time it's just going to be judgment. We ain't going to have no time to say, oh, God, give me another chance because I want to make it right. No, we want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's why we're here. We can't can't live for the devil and for God. There's no demilitarized zone. You either on the Lord's side or you on the devil's side. Let's stand for him because he's worth it. He's worth everything you can give him. He is worth it. I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you. He gonna see you through. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Man, how am I supposed to preach after that? So, and you guys, this is actually pretty funny. Now, listen, what we're about to read is nuts how this is going to line up. I'm pretty pumped about it. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and as you guys just testified, God is doing great things. And how many of you guys know God wants to use all people? Does anyone in here believe that God wants to use all people? Yeah, he does. He wants to use you. I got to give a little context. I'm only going to finish chapter 14 today because we got to talk a little bit about how to study the Bible, how to look at the scriptures, because how many of you guys have ever read the scriptures and got a little bit lost? Anyone ever done that before? Okay, the rest of y'all need to read your Bible a little bit more, all right? This is what I'm going to tell you. What we're about to read today, I got to recap a little bit. Paul is giving instruction on how to properly gather together. Now, I'm saying that because we're not talking about whether or not it's sin. We're talking about proper. We're talking about etiquette. We're talking about doing things in order because we serve an orderly God. And so today, when I'm reading this, I'm saying this because of a few things. One, the topic we're going to hit on is women in the church speaking. Y'all need to shut up. I'm just kidding. No, that's not what I'm saying. No, but the topic is women. I'm sorry. That was not cool. The live stream's down, so I just feel loose today, all right? Now, we're going to be reading about that, but Paul's actually hitting on the entire order. And I've heard this said, that people are upset when someone speaks in tongues and there's no interpretation. They get frustrated. They say, that's wrong. That's what they say. That's wrong that they would do that. I've heard people get upset about people prophesying and then getting criticized. They go, that's wrong. You shouldn't do that. But we're not talking right or wrong. Paul's trying to show something. He's taking a truth. You need to love one another. He says, I want you to love well. And then in that, when you're gathering together, let that be exposed. So I'm going to go back to 14:26, chapter 14, verse 26. I'm going to read his summary on the last few chapters, what he's saying. You ready for this? Chapter 14, verse 26. Well, my brothers and sisters, let me summarize. When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation. God has given. One will speak in tongues, another will interpret what is said, but everything that is done must strengthen all of you. No more than two or three should speak in tongues. They must speak out one at a time, and someone must interpret what they say. But if no one is present, who can interpret? They must be silent in your church meeting and speak in tongues to God privately. Number one, speaking in tongues, no interpretation. He says, be silent. Go back to your home. Do that privately. Verse 29, let two or three people prophesy and let others evaluate what's being said. But if someone is prophesying and another person receives a revelation from the Lord, the one who is speaking must stop, which is to be silent. In this way, all who prophesy will have a turn to speak, one after another, so that everyone will learn to be encouraged. Remember that people who prophesy are in control of their spirit and can take turns. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, and in all the meetings of God's holy people. Verse 34, women should be silent during the church meeting. It is not proper for them to speak. They should be submissive, just as the law says. If they have any questions, they should ask their husbands at home, for it is improper for a woman to speak in a church meeting. Or do you think God's word originated with you, Corinthians? Are you the only ones to whom it was given? If you claim to be a prophet or think you are spiritual, you should recognize that what I'm saying is a command from the Lord himself. But if you do not recognize this, you yourself will not be recognized. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and don't forbid speaking in tongues. But be sure that everything is done properly and in order. I just read that scripture after hearing Miss Barbara speak. And you're thinking, wait a minute. When I read the Word of God, what it says pretty plainly. I mean, if I was just to read this scripture to you, and how many of you guys have ever heard this scripture before? Women, you gotta be silent in the church meeting. You guys ever hear this before? And then this one, no. Well, welcome to church. And we look at the scripture, and I want to talk a little bit about how to examine the scripture, how to look at it. Now, I want to make this very clear. I don't want to make an argument because of culture. I don't want to make an argument because of how we run in society. That is a really dangerous way of interpreting the scriptures, as looking at what's approved in the world and then looking at the scriptures and saying, well, how does the world's approval fit into the word of God? I want the word of God to fix my perspective on the world. Anyone with me on that? And a lot of us want the world to fix our perspective on the word. But I want to say this to you. The word of God is where you get clear perspective on the things in this world. Now, with that said, I'm going to stop with just taking it on the nose real fast. If that scripture was left alone and that's all you understood, and I've seen many people do this, there's entire church organizations that do this. They don't have a great understanding on the scripture, so they just say, if you're a woman, don't say nothing. Just be quiet. I wanted to say something to them really quick about them. I don't want to shame that. I don't think in their heart that they're trying to bound people up. I think many people are just wanting to do what's right before God. And that's what they want to do. They're going, I'm just desperate before you, God. If that's what the scripture says, then so be it. May I lay down my life before you. And many women who carry the gift of prophecy, who could be great teachers like that of Priscilla and Aquilas, who were teachers to Apollos. Great people have been silenced, but I want to just make this clear. I don't think it's because they're being wicked. The teachers aren't being wicked. I believe they just want to do what's right before the Lord. Now, I know there's men and women out there who are wicked. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But I'm talking about reading the word of God and saying, I need to apply this to my life. I want to say this to you. Your heart posture matters the most. Now, when you read a scripture, and if you read it and you're going, this is what my understanding is, I want to encourage you, do that so that your conscience is clean. We see this all through the scriptures. But now with that said, I want to actually talk to you about how do you read this scripture? How does this work? Because there's this word called hermeneutics, which is just a big word to say study of the Bible, all right? And I think smart people make big words, so dumb people stay dumb. That's how I feel sometimes. And so I want to just talk to you about this, because when we look at this scripture about women being silent in the church, if I was just to read that without reading everything else we've read in Corinthians, like chapter 11, verse 5, saying, women, when you prophesy in the gathering, keep your heads covered. When it says in the scriptures, when Paul's writing and saying, hey, women, when you're prophesying, it's improper. And I want to make this clear. They're not prophesying in secret. They're prophesying to people. He's not saying, when you're prophesying, you know, put your head covering and then going out to the next scripture and saying, actually, don't say anything. That's not what he's doing. And when we look through the scriptures and we see the entirety of it, I want to make this clear. He is very much so talking about order in the church, not law. I got to make this very clear. Because a lot of people want to take this and go, well, that's the new law, but we're talking order. And I want to just get off women for a second. I want to talk about speaking in tongues. Because if you speak in tongues, and there's 5, 6, 7 of you doing it, and you didn't follow this scripture where it says, like, yeah, maybe 2 or 3, it's not sin. It's not a sin issue. It's not an issue where God's looking at you going, I'm going to condemn you to hell. Paul's just saying, hey, listen, we serve an orderly God, and you guys are acting like wackos. You guys are showing up. Everyone has a prophetic word. You guys are showing up. Everyone's speaking in tongues. You guys are showing up, and there's like, there's no order. The women are talking. Guys, stop. Don't you see that we want some order in the house? So I want to talk to you really quick about how to read scripture, because there's something you need to know. Many people will grab a scripture, a verse, out of context. When I say out of context, I don't just mean the 5 verses around it. I mean out of context of what the rest of the Bible says. And they'll read a scripture. Like, for instance, young rich ruler. There's been entire theologies based off the young rich ruler that you have to be poor in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Because this is what the scripture says. Jesus, when the young rich ruler walks away, he says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And the disciples say, well, then who can be saved? Who can be saved? And Christ says, well, with God, all things are possible. By the way, that's where that scripture comes from. He says, but with God, all things are possible. I look at that scripture, and I used to read that and go, I guess God doesn't think rich people are going to make it. I guess he's saying in order to be a Christian, you have to be poor. And it's called the poverty gospel. You've probably heard of the prosperity gospel, which is also taking verses out of the context of the Bible and applying it so that it benefits you or it's a worldview. And what's happened is that they take verses, not out of context in the reading of the word in that section, but out of the Bible, and they take full theologies. They'll say, well, Abraham was rich, so you must have to be rich as well, ignoring that Paul was poor, even though he was a great apostle. And so what do we get? We get people hanging on to scripture, building theology without actually knowing the word of God. And I just actually got to hit on this for a second, because with you, and I'm going to get to this at the end as well, but with you, I got to say this. You need to know your word, or you'll fall for false doctrine. You'll fall for things that will trap you. And listen, I don't think it's just because there's wolves out there. There's plenty of wolves. But I honestly believe that there's a bunch of Bibles that the church has. I'm talking about us, the gathering of people. There's a bunch of Bibles that are not being studied. So when one person makes a point that's convincing, you're persuaded by a speaker and not persuaded by the word of God. And that's a real problem in the church. That you have access to God's word. You have access to the Torah, the Pentateuch. You have to the prophets, to the Psalms and the Proverbs. You have access to it. And what happens? You rely on a man, one man, to speak it to you from his own studies. And many of us don't even verify it. You'll hear something and you'll be convinced and you'll go regurgitate and reteach. And we see that Paul and Peter over and over and over. I mean, literally, the next chapter, he's saying, yo, you guys are getting these teachers showing up. You guys are pulling these teachers in about the resurrection. You guys got to keep these teachers out. Know your word. Church, there is no excuse. Can you imagine for a second? This blows my mind. The creator of the heavens and the earth literally transcribes to Moses the law that we have written in the scriptures. He's over here doing great miracles. The history is being written down. You and I could see his covenant from Adam to Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, all the way down to David, and we ignore it. We want to know what's the most funny video, this is like conviction to me, on Instagram Reels, and I'll spend an hour and a half there. When the creator of the heavens and the earth, I can understand who he is because he's given me a word that, by the way, sometimes I disagree with in my flesh, which proves to me that this isn't a God by man, but this is a God who is his own person. And I can look at this and go, wait a minute, I have the scriptures. I need to say this to you. You should be mature in these things. If you go to church and you find most of your understanding is from me, I want to just warn you for a second. Be aware. You need to know the word of God. And it's not just because I'm planning on deceiving you. I want to make this clear. I don't have any goals in my life. Like, how can I trick them? I'm not doing that. But you don't know what I might say that's wrong. And I want to say this. I need you to know your word. I need you as your brother in the Lord. I need you to know your word. Where's John Brownfield at? John Brownfield. See this guy? Put your hand up high. You see this guy? I love this man. Because I will preach, and he'll say, he's the best. He'll say, that was a great sermon. Can I talk to you? Yeah. And honestly, when we get together, John, is it not the most life-giving conversation? There's been things that he's brought up to me. I'm going like, I got to dig into the word. There's revelations that I've got to preach from this stage because I sat with him. That's my brother in the Lord. Let me say this to everyone in this house. That's your responsibility, not to correct me, though, yes, that is a responsibility of the brotherhood, but to know the word of God. Because you just heard my dear sister, who called me up the other day just to talk about Panama and going on a mission, and my dear sister, Miss Barbara and Gary. And when she called me up, she was praying and prophesying over me. And then she gets up on the stage and she speaks, and you're going, that was actually more encouraging than probably the rest of the sermon. I feel more edified and built up. I mean, she really rebuked us and said, stop sinning, you know? And you're looking at that, and then I get up here and I read a verse, and you go, oh, wait, what? Because I feel so filled up in my heart. I felt like I was going to go and run through a wall for Christ because Miss Barbara just encouraged me. But then we read the scripture and go, well, I guess she was wrong. I guess she was wrong. Honestly, even as I'm reading this, there's a few of you who are going to be wrestling with this because you've done some theology research and you've tied some things together and you just came to the conclusion, which one of my great teachers that I loved who passed away, Vadi Bachman, he said this. He says, the scripture says women be quiet, so be quiet. That's what he says. And he had a theology on it, but he did that and it irked me a little bit. I liked what he did because it made me wrestle inside of me. And that he later on talks about that was kind of the point. But man, I read the scripture, but I want to put this in the view of the whole Bible about women speaking. Number one, we read in chapter 11, verse 5. Women, when you're prophesying, talking about in the group setting. Women, when you are prophesying, that means when you get a word from God to declare it to the brethren. Paul says, I want to give you some instruction on how to do it. Keep your head covered to show that you're under a man's head, leadership. But listen to this. I want to make this clear. He says, but you're prophesying, as in you're speaking. We have a contradiction unless you understand context. Let's go a little bit further, actually. When we look at people who taught Apollos in the book of, it's in here. I'm going to tell you right now. Acts chapter 18, verse 26. It's not coming on the screen. Priscilla and her husband, Aquilus, brought Apollos, who was someone who was wrestling with the gospel, who was preaching it, but his doctrine was off. And it gives Priscilla and her husband, both of them, credit for teaching a man. Which if you read in 1 Timothy, he says to Timothy, he says, I do not permit a woman to teach a man. Paul says that. Now, I want to make something clear. Paul doesn't say the Lord commands that you cannot teach over a man. Paul was not shy about saying this is a command from the Lord. We're going to talk about it here in just a second. But he says, I don't permit. But then we look at the scripture where Priscilla's getting accredited with her husband for teaching a man. And we go, okay, what do we do with this? What do we do scripturally with this? But there's somebody else that you might not know about. Junia, J-U-N-I-A. I don't know how to pronounce it. A woman in the book of Romans, if you have your Bibles, I want you to actually go to Romans chapter 16, verse 7. I want to go there too, actually. Let me just flip over this. This is a sick little nugget. It is, man. I didn't know this. 16:7. Paul, ending his letter to the Romans, says, greet Androcius, that's a Greek name if there has ever been one. And Junia, check this out. Number one, my fellow Jews who are in prison with me. They are highly respected among the apostles and became followers of Christ before I did. Early writers, 300 AD, wrote about Junia, saying how glorious and great of a relationship she must have had with the Lord to be considered by the apostles as an apostle. That's what the scriptures, it was always known all the way up until the medieval times. And they actually, this is crazy. Here's some controversy for you in the church. What happened in the medieval times, they didn't like the idea that women, because there's these other scriptures like 1 Timothy and the scripture in chapter 14. So trying to reconcile it, they thought, well, maybe it's not Junia. And they changed the name to a masculine name. And for many translations, even though we all had the same manuscripts, there was an agreement, we'll keep it to this masculine name, Junius. And it wasn't until they looked through the scriptures and they really challenged again and again the translation of the Bible that they said, no, this is a woman's name. One of the most popular women name in Greek culture at the time. Considered to be like the apostles. Your scriptures might even say she was an apostle. So what do you do when you read a scripture like this where Paul's saying, hey, women, shut it. Go home to your husbands. What do you do with this? How do you look at the scriptures and you go, well, what am I supposed to do? Because I know if I'm newly saved and I read that and I don't know how to study the Bible, and I read that, I'm going to be sitting in church. I'm going to be looking at Evelyn. And every time she does something other than sing, I'm going to go, wait a minute. And even if she sings, I'm going to be like, she needs to go sing to Eli at home. That's what I'm going to start thinking. You know? Go sing to Eli. I will take that somewhere else. And every time I see someone up here sharing announcements, because look, it doesn't say in the scriptures woman, you can't preach. And teacher says, be quiet. So when I show up to church and I'm a new believer, I read the scripture and I see someone up here. You know, I saw Crystal up here today. She's up here sharing, saying, man, come on, encouraging into the word of God. If you look at that scripture and that's all you know, what do? You go, condemnation, you know? You wicked woman. Down with women. Nah. No. That's not what the scripture's saying. This isn't what the scripture's saying. No. And listen, we've been finding this a lot in the book of Corinthians, that if you read it out of context, you'll have bad theology. For instance, chapter 6, when it says, do not sue the brethren. Why? Not because that's a law, because you don't want to embarrass the church in front of the world. It wasn't about not suing. He says, don't go to the public and sue, is what it says. Handle it within your own community. What are you doing? But what do we got? We got bad theology. Why? Because we don't know the scriptures. And so we read something like that, and all of a sudden we're going, well, something's not adding up. And you know in your heart, you watch it, you're going, yeah, but I watched the gifts of the Holy Spirit happening in the church. Now I watched my sister Barbara get up here and everyone's shouting and jumping. And not because it's Miss Barbara, because the word of God is being encouraged inside of us. So what do we do with the scripture? Look at it as a whole in the Bible, which goes to one more thing. Stop cherry picking the Bible. Start reading the whole thing. Now I'm saying this because I agree with you. Deuteronomy, Leviticus, those are not fun to read. I read those things and I'm bored out of my mind. I'm seriously triple speed on the Bible app. I gotta get through this. When they're talking about the measurements of the temple, but let me say what Paul says to Timothy. He says, all scriptures talking about the Old Testament is God breathed. He's not talking about the New Testament when he says that. He's not writing about Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He's talking about the Torah. He's talking about the Old Testament. It says, this is God breathed for you, that you might edify, encourage, even correct one another. But what do? I hate being in the Old Testament. Oh, man, we're in the Bible plan. It's so funny. Well, we're going to put out another plan for you. And every time we get on the Bible plan, everyone's always pumped. January, we're going through Genesis. People are like, the stories are great. February, we get halfway through Exodus. 60 readers every day getting their check marks. Yeah, I read today. By the end of February, there's like 6 of us. It's like, oh, what happened? It's like, oh, the law. It was the law. And I get it. But you're not reading the Word of God for entertainment. Brother, thank you. And it's fancy. Icelandic grace. Wow, okay. Thank you. Oh, snap, guys. Okay. I don't know what I was saying. I was distracted by this extremely expensive brand of water. We're getting lost. You should know the Word of God. Not, you don't read it so you're entertained. You don't read it so you feel better. You read it because it does something inside of you. It corrects your hearts. It transforms you. It disciplines you. It shows you the way that you should live. That's why you read the Word. It's like a textbook manual that the Holy Spirit's coupled inside of you, revealing the secrets, the same secrets he revealed to the disciples on that 40 days up on the mountain with them after he resurrected. Let me reveal the scriptures to you. Some of us don't have the scriptures revealed to us because we ain't reading the scriptures. And so we got all these mysteries in the Old Testament because we don't even want to look at it. And then when we do look at it, what do we want to do? We want to look at it, not just with the Holy Spirit. We go, well, I don't know what this means, so I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to ask the Holy Spirit, who knows all things, who knows the very thoughts of God. Instead of asking him, I'll just get on chat. What does this mean? I'll get on Google, read some crazy blog, go down some rabbit trail, end up with nothing in the end. You need to know the Word of God. So what is the scripture saying? It's not saying that women, just be silent, you can't talk in the church, that's the new law. What it's saying is, if you're bringing disorder, which we could take from context of this scripture, and this might be on a little bit of a ledge, so I'm not going to preach this as gospel. I'm going to preach this as the common agreement among scholars, what they're talking about, is that women were being disruptive in the service with questions. And they get this because it says, go back home and ask your husband these questions. And so he's writing to them as he's talking about who should be quiet in the church. You speaking in tongues, no interpretation, be quiet. You're prophesying, someone has a word of revelation. Prophets, be quiet. Women, you got a bunch of questions, hold it. But let me go a little bit further. The word woman and wife is the same in the Greek. Woman and wife is the same in the Greek. If you're to read that scripture, you have to read it in context. It's actually saying, wives, be quiet. And the reason why we know that is because the instruction is go back to your husbands. Not go find a man. So some of you guys wouldn't be okay with that. You kind of wish you had go find a man, yeah? No, it says go back to your husbands, which they say, from what they understand, the context of that scripture is that women were disrupting the service, asking their husbands about prophecies that were being criticized and challenged. He's going, there's too much disorder in the church. And then he goes on, because I want to talk about husbands in a second, but I want to finish this up, because at the end of the scripture, after he says this, he says, if they have any questions, verse 35, they should ask their husbands at home, for it's improper for a woman to speak in church meetings. Improper, by the way, just means that it's not appropriate. We're talking about social cues here. We're talking about things being right, okay? So he says it's improper. And you could go look up the Greek if you want. I did. Go look it up. Don't listen to me. Go challenge it. Verse 36 throws a lot of people off, but he's talking in context of everything he just summarized. Do you think God's word originated with you, Corinthians? Are you the only ones to whom it was given? If you claim to be a prophet or you think you're spiritual, you should recognize that what I'm saying is a command from the Lord himself. What is he saying? He's saying order in the church is what God desires. So he's saying, go ahead and challenge that. I dare you. He says, if you're a prophet, you will know that God desires order. Look through the scriptures. Look at how he built the temple. Look at how he divided the children of God in Israel to have certain orders. Look at how they had to move the tent in the desert place. Look at how orderly he is. He says, but if you do not recognize this, he says, then you yourself, you're not spiritual at all. If you think that church is supposed to be a wild house, that when we gather together, it's just do what you want. You want to come up here and you want everyone speaking in tongues and everyone dancing and people, you know, I like church. I want to make this clear. And I really like that Southern Baptist crazy Holy Ghost church. You guys know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. She knows. I literally drove by a church the other day. It was called Holy Spirit Wings of Fire Tongues Church or something like that. You know what happens in that church? You know, I won't be real with you. I like that kind of church sometimes. How many guys just, sometimes you're going to go get wild for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and I like that. But listen, he's like, listen, God is orderly. He's orderly. Don't you see it? And he says, you can't see it. Then you won't be recognized as someone who's spiritual. So he says, so my dear brothers and sisters, your scripture might say, so my friends or my brethren or whatever. But that's that word usage right there. Why the NLT says brother and sisters is because the word usage is like saying, hey, you guys. Hey, you guys. You guys remember that movie? All right. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. And check this out. Don't forbid speaking in tongues. For those who are getting upset that tongues is being spoken, no one's interpreting. Stop trying to forbid tongues. Just get it in order. That's all you got to do. Don't say, I reject tongues. Say, you know what? It just needs a little bit of order behind it. But be sure that everything is done properly and in order. I got to say one more thing about this teaching about women speaking in the church. He is not telling women, you cannot speak in church. He's saying to these women that if you're out of order and you're bringing a disruption, then you got to stop. And let me just say this. In this church right here, we don't get men and women standing up and asking questions. And part of that is the structure of church today is when someone has the microphone, the etiquette is that you're quiet. But when someone comes into our church, which we had one guy during a Christmas service come in and he walked to the front. And how many of you guys, you could tell when someone's not right in their mind? You guys ever seen that before? And he came in and he was like kind of flexing, his shirt was off. And listen, our church, you know, you can look around. We like a little mixed bag in here, okay? So we're like, yeah, sit up front. Now, I used to preach on the floor because we didn't have live stream back in the day. So, and if we didn't have live stream, I want you to know, I'd be probably sitting in the pew with you. I love being down there. So I'm on the floor, and he just walks straight up to me. He says, I need a tissue. I hand him a tissue. I was right here. Grab a tissue. And I'm trying to preach. This is like 2020. We had, you know, it was a different kind of church in 2020. And so here we are, right? So I give him the tissue, and he sits right there, and he's growling. What do you think we did? We did pray for him. We paused the service and said, we're out of order. Let's get this in order. He's in, got up. He walked up with Dexter, and Dexter talked to him. Great guy. Asked him when he got off the street. He was high on crack. We said, okay, well, let's pray for you. So we pray for him again. But why did we do that? Why did we not make the service about him? Because we said, no, let's keep things in order. Let's do this properly. Let's pray for the guy. Let's tell him, hey, you could get delivered. But if things aren't going to work out that way, which it didn't, he says, man, I want out of here. I don't like that. You guys going to give me a tissue first. It's like, bro, I did give you a tissue, but he was tripping. So he left. Well, what are we doing? We're saying, no, we want order in here. I want to say this. There's order. But let me talk really quick because I got to say this. My bros, I love that the scripture says to the wives who have questions about the scriptures, questions about prophecy, questions about what's happening in church. Notice Paul doesn't say, go to the teacher. He says, wives, go to your husbands and ask the question. I want to talk about why this scripture is difficult for many women. Their husbands don't have answers for them. And because of that, they hear things in the church service and they have nowhere to go. And I'm going to just say this right now. Paul, oh, you're not even married. Chill out with that. All right, wait. We'll get you a husband, but come on. Don't shame all the husbands yet. All through the scriptures, it says, husbands, you're the head of the home. Husbands, you're the head of the home. You want to take that so you can say, I want my way. But God's looking at that going, you should know my ways first. And you should be able to teach my word. And I want to say this to the husbands and all my single men. Men, do not be fooled. Your wife is going to be so intelligent. How many men in here could testify that you're a woman? Same word. Same word in the Greek, woman, wife. That your wife has been an excellent minister to you through the word of God, showing you things in the scriptures. Me too. But let me say something to you. Men, you're the head. Act like it. Know your word. I told everyone to get in your word. Let me double down on that. Men, know your word. I'm baffled by the amount of people who are coming to me who are married. And listen, no shame. I want to share everything I can. But I'm looking at the men going, you should know this. The word of God is in your home. You got the same resources I got. You got the same spirit I got. Men, why are they asking me? They should be asking you, son, daughter, brother, sister. You got the word. What are you doing with it? He says, go back to your husbands. This is the order. Go back to your husbands and ask them the questions. Let them show you the word of God. Wives, how many of you guys would be so blessed if you could go to your husband about scriptures and he would say, let's open it up and let me show you what the word says. How many of you guys would be so blessed by that? How many of you guys and men would recognize that if you could do that, you'd feel so fulfilled as a husband? Look at my leadership in my home. I could even teach my wife the things that she doesn't know. I want to pour out to her. Listen, I want to make this clear. I'm not saying that women can't understand the word of God. I'm just saying Paul gives a pretty cool instruction. Your husband should know. That should be actually the signal of a man of God. Not that he could just provide for the family, though yes, it says if you can't provide for your family, you're worse than an unbeliever. But you should be someone who knows the word. I'm ending. We don't have announcements afterwards, so I get to preach a little bit long, which is so nice. But I want to come to an end. So I want to say this about the scriptures. You need to know them, or else you'll be fooled. And you're going to bind up a bunch of women who are walking in the gift of prophecy. And you're going to say, you can't prophesy because I read that one scripture in 1 Corinthians 14. And because you don't know the rest of the scripture, you're going to bind women up who have the gift of the Holy Spirit, paralyzing part of the body of Christ from doing its function of ministering to us and you in togetherness. Know your word. You're getting fooled because you don't know the scriptures. Know your word. Because you're going to ask questions, you don't even know how to answer it. Read it. And let me just say this really quick. I said this about maturity in the flesh, and we talked about how it takes time. You're not going to know this book in a day. You need to become students of this thing. You need to become people who say, no, every single day. Listen, I talked about habits. I talked about habit stackings. I've given you all the tips and tricks on this thing. But it was 1,100 days ago or something like that. That I decided there will not be a day that I don't read the scriptures ever again. I don't care if I'm on vacation. I don't care if I'm on a hospital bed. I don't care if there's an emergency. I'm going to be someone who says, you know what? What's the word of God say today? And I'm going to read it. I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to tell you what happened when I decided that the Word of God is going to be an anchor in my life. Number one, the things I didn't understand, the Lord gave me understanding in. And to this day, He still does. Number two, I had more revelation and more exciting times in the Word of God when I made it my daily devotion to do every single day. Number three, I love this one. It changed me from the inside. Man, when I read about sexual immorality in Corinthians, I'm going to tell you, it changed my life. I thought sexual immorality was about fornication. No, sexual immorality is about doing it outside of God's design. And that's in your marriage bed. Man, when I read the Word of God, it changes me. When I read the Word of God, I've listened to speakers who've said really eloquent and beautiful things, but I know the Word of God, and I could look at them and say, that's not what that's saying. I wasn't fooled. When I read the Word of God, I have discernment because I have knowledge of who He is. Read your Word. Where's my ladies at? Where's my ladies at? Ladies, read your Word. Your children. Let me tell you, you're teaching your children and your future children. You don't need to teach them math. Yes, math is great, but when you get to trigonometry, it's like, what are you trying to make them into, okay? And it's like, cool, if you want to go that direction, have fun. But let the Word of God be something that you teach them. I'm going to tell you right now, your children are going to ask questions. They're going to ask you questions. You can't go, you know what? I don't know. Wants to look up on Google. No, be someone who's dedicated, saying, God, if this is real, then what am I doing? Let me just get in my Word. And some of you guys have been held back from the Spirit of the Lord because you've read the Scriptures and you didn't understand. Instead of finding understanding, instead of sitting with the God of all creation, instead of continuously reading the Bible through and through and through to get the whole picture, you've been handicapped. You've been held down and held back. I'm not just talking to women, I'm talking to men too. And I want to just encourage you. You got the same Bible I got. Actually, I just found out last week that I'm missing a page in my Bible, so you got a better Bible than I got. I want to encourage you, know your Word. Keep yourself from the traps of false teachers. Keep yourself from the traps of foolishness. It says in Proverbs, you don't know this probably, but this is what you should be seeking first, understanding and wisdom. These are the things you should be after. Read your Word. So when you come across the Scripture, you can say, wait a minute, I don't understand this, but I'm going to find the answer by reading the Word of God. Can we stand to our feet real quick? I want to pray over you, and then we're going to sing a little song and have a little baptism. We're going to party. Why don't you close your eyes, bow your head. Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Jesus, that we can read the Word of God and we can see it in its entirety. Thank you, Jesus, that we have copies of versions that are translated from the same manuscripts from back in the day, the same ones. That God, we got the Word of God in our home. That God, we could be students of the Word by simply opening up our Bibles. Oh Lord, we don't even have to rely on teachers. God, we have the Word at our home. Your Holy Spirit would teach us all things. Oh Father, your Holy Spirit could teach us all things. That's how good you are to us. And God, I pray over my brothers and sisters in this house. Father, some people in this room, after hearing this Word, they're going to wrestle some things out. They're going to try to figure out, where's that line at? Where's that line at? What is the order? What are we supposed to do? What's the heart of the matter here? God, I pray, Father, that they dig in their Word. I pray, Jesus, they find brothers and sisters, and they say, can we start a small group of reading the Bible together? Because I want to know this thing. I pray, Father, that there's a hunger in this house. God, I pray over every brother and sister in this room. Hunger for your Word. Oh, may they be starving for the bread of life. May the things of this world no longer satisfy them, Jesus. Like Ms. Barbara said, may sin become dull. And may the Word of God be sharp in their hearts. Listen, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're in this house, I got to change gears real quick. I'm praying that the Word of God will come alive to you. But when I say that, I'm not just talking about the Bible. I'm actually talking about Jesus Christ himself coming alive in you. And I want to say this. If you're in this house, in this old warehouse in Atlanta Dream Center Church, and you've never given your life to the Lord, I got to give you an opportunity. I got to give you an opportunity, or else I feel like I'm robbing someone today. Or if you're in this house and at one point you did give your life to the Lord and you walked away, and today I want to invite you. There's an invitation to come back. And the Father's not here to beat you. He's here to celebrate you today. And all you got to do is say, you know what? It's better to be the servant of the Most High God than to be rich in this world. Even the servants have it better. And he'll look at you and say, I'm not going to call you my servant. I want to call you my son, my daughter. I want to adopt you in. If you're in this house, you've never given your life to the Lord. Or you're in this house, at one point you did follow him, but something in life got in your way and you walked away. And today you want to give your life to the Lord. I'm not going to have you come on stage. I'm not going to have anyone look at you. Everyone's heads, eyes closed and heads are bowed. If you want to give your life to the Lord or you want to come back today, this is what I want you to do. I want you to put your hand up real high. Come on, put that hand up real high. That's what I'm talking about. Come on. Come on, I love that. That's what I'm talking about. Come on. Come on, anybody else? Come on. I want you to hear me, those with their hand up. You're a brother to me now. That's what it says in scriptures, that those who follow him, that we are now brothers and sisters, right? We're brothers. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this little prayer. And this little prayer can mean everything or it can mean nothing. It's just up to you. But I want you to say this with all your heart today. That means from your innermost being. All we're going to say is, God, we love you. We believe in you. We know you died on the cross, rose again. And you're going to say, God, be the center of my life. I will follow you all the days of my life. We're going to make a commitment to him today. And church, I'm not going to have this one person or these two people do it by themselves. I want you to join in because maybe someone in this house didn't have the courage, but they want to make this prayer their prayer as well. So can you guys all repeat after me? Dear Father, today I confess you, Jesus, are Lord of lords and King of kings. I believe you died on the cross and rose again. I believe that you hold all authority. And today I ask that you forgive me of all my sins and make me yours. I'm dedicating my life to you. I'm yours, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. It says, when one person turns from the world and comes to Christ, it says there's celebration in heaven. Church, can we show them what it sounds like in heaven right now? Come on.
I lost another one.